Nicole.
How are you?
I'm so excited for our recording, which is 4 months. I can't think of a, but anyway, 4 months was the last time we recorded.
Crazy.
So happy August. I totally agree with you. We were just talking that it feels like a lifetime ago.
Indeed.
Life has moved on and so much has gone. And that's fabulous because we're getting stuff done.
And it's nowness.
Yeah.
Woo! Yay. Nowness is two women paying attention to the details of ordinary life. Naoko and Naoko's friendship spans 3 decades, 2 countries, and now 2 cities, San Francisco and the greater Seattle area. We are wives, working mothers, and feminists in our 40s. Thanks for joining us. This is just us showing up to connect and to recalibrate our voices and stories. And thanks for listening to us ponder life and food and share lots of love.
So it is end of August, and I know there's a lot of August babies that are in my inner circle, especially my mom. My mom's was yesterday, and she turned 83.
Wow. Happy birthday to your mom. Otanjoubi omedetou gozaimasu.
Yes. And then we wanted to give a shout out to...
Tamayo. Happy birthday, Tamachan.
Happy birthday to you. Like a fabulous. Anyway, and then what else? Like my husband's, my sister-in-law's. Those are in my inner circle. And then July was my son's. So there's a lot of summer babies.
And an important one coming around the corner too.
All right, so much has happened. Like, I did want to share with you. I didn't go out for coffee with my friend this morning before Nonis. I actually went to Zumba, 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 Zumba. So, hence, my energy, like, basically, exercise is just phenomenal because it releases endorphins, natural, you know, energy, positive vibes. And I can't. It's just amazing because we actually got COVID on our way to Atlanta, and this is the third time around for me. And I was like in denial because it just felt like a cold. But once we got back, I guess we just wanted to be like super, just wanted to know for those around us too. Because right. We came back and Mia wasn't with us, and it's just like, okay, can Mia be with us or can she not be with us? So we took the test, and lo and behold, it turned out mine was already at the, you know, at the end of it. So it was a faint pink, but then James had a really strong red line. So anyway, why am I sharing that? Because, unexpectedly hit. But for, I guess for us, it's like the new norm. And it doesn't matter whether you're immunized or not because we are fully vaccinated and still got the new strain. But here's the thing. I traveled with my daughter to Japan and we traveled all over the country for 3 weeks and we were clear. No problem. Like, I think my daughter had a cough, but it wasn't COVID. And then... ironically, we traveled domestically out and got it. So anyway, for those, you know, we know, I know a few in my inner circle who've got it for the first time and all that. So get vaccinated. It's flu season's coming around the corner and all that. So you guys have been spared, right? This far.
Yes, knock on wood.
I know, it's crazy. I don't know anybody who hasn't gotten it, except for you and Fan.
Yeah, I really hope to keep it that way. But I know, like you say, life has to also move on. So I don't want to be like paralyzed or paranoid by it. So, you know, I think there is a healthy balance trying to be mindful still. And so I tend to be conservative. I still mask. when I go to stores and things like that, anything I can do to protect myself.
And it's amazing because your husband is a teacher and has been okay. So what a blessing.
Yeah. I know the numbers are creeping up and the trends are starting from the East Coast, right? Peak in hospitalizations and new variants and all of that that I'm not like necessarily following closely, you know, but it's on my radar. And so having that conversation with family, like Mina is kind of over masking and I guess kids aren't masking at school, mostly, maybe a handful. Tim's school too. So, you know, my preference is why not be proactively protective of ourselves? But I understand she's done with masks. So trying to figure out when do we say, okay, maybe it's time to just be safe again for temporarily through the spikes. But that's hard to say. So Mom, we'll continue the family conversations.
So what 4 months do we have to catch up?
You start.
Oh. Well, I guess for me, it was so lovely to be back in Japan and spend time with my mom. And this time around, because of COVID, it took us like 4 years. 4年ぶりに we went. And I think it's funny because, yeah, it's not funny, but my daughter, my littlest one, and my mom have 77 years apart. 77 years apart! And so at this point in time, I just want her, like, my mom was very much in my older kids' lives because at the heart of me becoming a single mom in my 30s and raising two kids who were only like 5 and 3 at that time, she was the one who supported me all throughout. So she lived with us for a while. So Rua Mia got to know Baba, and she was driving and pretty much like, yeah, grandma slash mom while I was working. And so I'm so glad that they had that experience and memories, so many memories. and then but my littlest one doesn't have that opportunity because we don't live together and all that. So, but it was, man, I don't know if when you're 83, I would have done the same thing, but like I think even now, well, no, not yet, but like the mind and the body, they don't connect as you get older. So you think in your mind that you could do things, but physically the body's not going to catch up. But I wanted my daughter to have experienced all the fun things too. So we went to Universal in the heat and like had an like epic trip down to Kyoto and Osaka and Nagoya and all of that. And my mom came along and it was kakoku na tabi for her. Kakoku is like, what is it? I don't know what the translation is in English, but just
draining, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very draining.
Taxinka, physically taxing, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really hard for her. So I feel bad, but hopefully she'll take it positively. And yeah, she had lots of shared memories. And yeah, and then my son is still there in Japan, and he just climbed Mount Fuji by himself.
Sugoi.
So it's so great that he could talk about, we're going to talk about like death today, right? And so it's just like, you know, it's kind of like you only live once, and you got to not take tomorrow for granted. So I'm just so proud that he all his cousins fell out. They're like, oh, we'll go with you. Oh, we'll go with you. And then like, all the plans fell out. So he just made it happen by himself and just took phenomenal phenomenal pictures and shared his experience. So I'm just, that was phenomenal. And then talk about, sorry, I'm like going all over the place, but I know you just recently went to go see Barbie, so I am curious to see, I mean, hear your impressions. I don't think I'm gonna go see it in the theater. I'll wait for it to stream. So any, you won't spoil anything for me. I think by now, I think a lot of people have seen it.
Yeah. Well, I just watched it on Monday, so I don't think I've really had the chance to digest it. But I'd say that I enjoyed it. I went with a friend of mine in the city, wore pink. You know, it was a fun outing. No expectations, really. Beyond what I caught on like LinkedIn, and I had already seen the viral part of the film. I gathered that it went viral. Is her the actress name? Is it America Ferrera?
She's an awesome actor. Yeah,
so she has a very powerful monologue that I had already seen. But it was still nonetheless as powerful seeing it in context within the story. So I think for me, I had no expectations really. So I think that allowed me to just be present and enjoy it for what it is. Not, at the end of the day, it's an entertainment. Right. It's entertainment film trying to make a statement. It can't be everything to everyone. And I know there are shortcomings and criticism out there, but I enjoyed it for what it is. Oh, I have to say, though, this really ironic thing that happened. So we went to this theater in the city that's kind of known for it having a old school feel, and you can order food and drinks at the, seat. But they're very strict in terms of the film experience. So once the movie starts, it's, no texting, no phone, like silence, right? And so I was fully aware of this and appreciate that, right? Because I want to enjoy the film in silence. And so while the credits, once the movie started and they showed like from this point on you have to be silent and we're enforcing this, right? Because prior to that they were showing various videos and running up to it. And then before the opening scene, it was still like credits or whatever, I whispered to my friend, "You can eat the rest of this," because I ate a lot. I just wanted her to know like the rest that was on the plate is hers. The couple next to us, well, the gentleman next to us, had the audacity to shush us when I was just simply whispering like, 10 words, and the movie hadn't started. And he was like shushing us, and he was like, "Already? Really?" I was like, "You're probably here because somebody, your partner asked you to be here. You're not happy and you're giving us," I'm like, I thought we just had to laugh. Because it was so ironic that he was shushing us watching this particular film,
Yeah, and then the other thing is, it's a dine-in movie theater, right?
Yeah.
Cutlery and stuff. So evermore, that's like the loudest one just by the noise that the dining makes. I mean, anyway, yeah, I think you're right that he's probably was already having a shitty time, being dragged into going or something. Yeah.
Yeah. All the more reason I thought, you should be watching this and be schooled by this,
So rumors has it that apparently those who have gone to see it, like couples, like women have been breaking up their relationships because after they watch this. Could you see that?
I can see it.
Okay, cool. I see.
You definitely as a, yeah, if it, throughout the film, I was laughing because the film is a commentary on patriarchy and feminism or white feminism. There's, you know, different perspectives out there. But yeah, I can see how if your relationship, wherever your the comfort level of talking about it and being able to laugh at it, right? Like, you have to have a certain level of awareness and maturity around it, right? Like, if you feel defensive about some of the humor, like, there's issues, like, there's things that are, you know, a red flag that probably need to be addressed internally, and then, of course, as a couple. So I'm sure that's how things show up, right? Like, noticing your partner laughing at something that's really poking fun at you know, toxic masculinity. Like, can you handle it? Or true colors come out, I'm sure.
Gotcha. Well, I wanted to address, like, my daughter went to go see both Barbie and Oppenheimer because they were launched pretty much at the same time, I think, right?
Yeah, I think opening weekend was the same or something.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so there was a lot of social media tweets about Barbenheimer and what have you. And it was just lots of tone deaf, Warner Brothers being tone deaf to the atomic bomb atrocities that, you know, the atomic bomb caused. So yeah, that's, I think that was one of the reasons I was just appalled. Because I could just imagine, like, even though Warner Brothers is a big, you know, corporation, probably, you know, had the best intentions, but probably some millennial who was responsible for the social media department and was tweeting away these just extremely awful images of the mushroom cloud. But it's just, and the fact that it hasn't really gained a lot of criticism. I don't know, maybe it's because I haven't been talking to too many people, but so recently, last Sunday, I met a couple who's actually going to Japan, and they're actually for the first time. And then they mentioned that they're actually going to Hiroshima. And so I was like, thank goodness you're going. That's wonderful, because of, you know, recent events that happened this summer with Barbenheimer and what have you. And I just feel like U.S. is, or even the world, doesn't know enough about the atomic bomb and how in a flash, you know, so many people died. And so anyway, I've visited Hiroshima not just once, but a couple of times to be reminded of just the utter hell that mankind can cause.
Right.
So I just wanted to address that. I think that is kind of like a subconscious, or really just one of the reasons, like, that kind of turned me off, because I was like at the cusp, was like, I want to go see how amazing, how a, you know, female director, you know, got $1 billion in revenue for the first time in history and all that. And I hear it's just wonderful. So anyway.
Yeah, me too. I hadn't followed it, and I saw that word or that hashtag, Barbenheimer and stuff, but I did, you know, I'm not active on social media, so, you know, I was aware of it, but just because of that word existed, but I didn't really read into it. And it's my Japanese friend that shared with me that the Japanese public has been kind of made an outcry, which understandably so. I don't think I saw the insensitive images.
Well, yeah, I did mention there were, I think I was at a birthday party, and then, like, small talk, and then a couple from Istanbul, they live here now, but they went to go see Oppenheimer, and they were like, oh, it was such a biopic, it was such an epic film, and da-da-da-da-da, and then... because Christopher Nolan is, like, a allegedly, like, director, right? And,
yeah.
So I was like, oh, how wonderful. But then I mentioned, well, my daughter went to go see both movies, and she was the one who told me that, you know, Oppenheimer was very much, you know, kind of honed in on one man a very just one man, and like the female roles that were presented were just atrocious. And so this was even before the social media saga, so I'm glad that my daughter picked up on it. And she definitely was like, Barbie was so much better. So anyway, I just wanted to have this in history for us on nowness, in case someone picks this up, because it's not talked enough, I think.
Yeah, mainstream media for sure, I think. Yeah. I don't know. Again, I'm kind of, for many reasons, right? I don't follow the news either, and just to give myself space. But yeah, LinkedIn is the one place that I really do follow on a regular cadence. And I did see criticism because of the people that I follow from a DEIB plus perspective. Syra Rao is one I actively follow, and she shared a post about Oppenheimer being, basically whitewashing, white-centered storytelling. Certainly don't want to support it in the theaters. I'm curious for the very reason of Christopher Nolan being, top-notch director. I have enjoyed his film in the past that I want just for that artistry, keeping, of course, in mind that this is a very white-centered storytelling. But I guess I would say that it is unfortunate the one person or whoever was involved in Warner Brothers approving that kind of insensitive, atrocious marketing. Because I don't think they're the ones who created it. They just, whoever put it out there, people just reposted and went viral, right? And so, Warner Brothers has to take responsibility and accountability. But, I mean, that's something that happened. And I felt it was as important to see the film and, like you said, it made record, right, in terms of opening for a film made by a female director. So, you know, it's both and. It's sad that happened, but I can also support her and her work. Which I realize I haven't seen many of her the films that she's been known for. So Little Women, the remake, I haven't seen. Mina Loved. And Something Bird.
Oh, Lady Bird.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either. So
yeah. Awesomeness. Well, to pivot to, I thought it was fabulous that you you kind of created the catalyst to talk about how to end life, but you want to share first?
Before we go there, let me do a recap of my 4 months, what I remember. Yes. I listened to our last recording and I was like, wow. Yeah, I had forgotten, my memory, I was just telling you how it fails me and I forget so easily. And, you know, it was nice to listen to our conversation about reminiscing about my birthday weekend and celebration. And yeah, I was like, yeah, 4 months already. It feels like a blur. But highlight for sure is my summer. And like you, had the opportunity to see my parents, not in Japan, but here. And I hadn't seen them in 4 years because of the pandemic, like you, right? So that was precious and amazing. And I don't have words to describe to do justice of that experience, you know? So they were in the States for a month, stayed with us for 2 weeks, which is the longest they've stayed with us. In the past, they've been here a week, maybe, out of their stay in California. So the simple things, right? Like my mom's cooking and, you know, the annoying things about my dad, and just great to share space and be together. Not that we did anything but time together was the point. And so, yeah, it really hit home that 4 years apart, that again, with the pandemic and all that we experienced with the conversions of crises and whatnot, that it really hit home. Because 4 years for us, 4 years for Mina, 4 years for my parents, like they all so different. And I think my parents are, especially my mom, is feeling the aging more pronouncedly these days, you know? So it's great to spend time with them. Got to celebrate my nephew's graduation in LA. So we all did a road trip down to LA, spent some more time with my family, my sister's family, and celebrate. And I hadn't seen my sister and her family, my nieces and nephew, for like 5 years too, since the pandemic. So yeah, special family time. And then from LA, we did a road trip to Yosemite with Tim's side of the family. 18 of us were in a cabin on the, cabin that was on, in the park. And it was my first experience to go to Yosemite. I don't know. Have you been, Naoko?
Uh-uh.
Mm. Nope. So it's been on my bucket list to go check out Yosemite. It took 20 years in California, finally. It was epic this year because of all the rains. And so, it was just gorgeous and connecting with nature, and did one of the fall hikes. I don't know what they were called, the trails, you know, and we're pretty proud of, what was it? I ended up, I think, doing like, record for the day was like 20,000 steps and like altitude, increase in altitude was a lot. I can't remember what it was. But anyhow, felt good to, you know, get in those steps and see these gorgeous waterfalls. And then we came back. Yeah. And summer, continued time with family during the summer, and then school started last week for us in this area. So
didn't your hubby and daughter go to Jackson Hole?
Not this year.
Oh,
I can't keep... Montana is the place that we usually go to.
Yeah, where in Montana?
Nandake. Polebridge, I think, is the closest town.
Polebridge.
Polebridge.
Okay.
And we're like a couple miles south of the Canadian border, and we're in the national park. I don't even know the name. But yeah, Mina was disappointed that we didn't get to go this summer, because that's something that she looks forward to every summer, to drive to Montana. So we hope to do that, I think, next year.
Glacier National Park. Does that ring a bell?
Height.
Okay. No, Mia went to Montana for the first time a few weeks ago.
Oh.
I just wanted to track where you guys go in proximity to where she was. And I'm not quite sure where she was, but it's quite a... Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's like close for us, relatively speaking.
Mm.
She went to Idaho, and then she went to, Montana too. And maybe, anyway, so. So anyway, we have to meet somewhere. Okay, hold on. When you go to Montana, you guys have a cabin there?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But it's pretty, it's no electricity. There is, I think, water that they get from a lake or somewhere and in like huge jugs. And then there's a shower now. And a house. So it's, you have a roof over your head. And yes, the kitchen and stuff, I think, is run off of a propane, if I'm not mistaken. And there is a fridge, I think. I don't know how that works. But rustic is what I'm saying. Like, it's not glamping for sure, right?
And what's the Jackson Hole connection that you guys have?
My sister-in-law has a beautiful cabin. That one's glamping.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So we haven't been back to Jackson Hole, though, since Mina was like 3 or 4. So it's been a while. Wow, 8 years or so that we haven't been back.
And then you usually drive. You usually drive?
Yeah, I think the one time we flew in and out to Montana, but the last time we were there to Jackson, we drove, yeah. Wow. We take a couple of days, though, right? Like, we make stops, and like the last trip that Tim and Mina went to Montana, they took 3 days to get there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm tracking. I'm looking at the map as you're speaking.
Yeah, and they've, I think, drove to Seattle first one time, too. Mm-hmm. So I know that is a route that they've done. Because from Seattle, like you say, is pretty close. You can do it in a day.
Well, okay, but it's kind of out of the way from where you guys, like, you could just go diagonal through Nevada, Utah, Idaho.
I think there we met family there.
Probably
that 1 year we did it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wait, so do you like to camp?
Glamping is more my thing.
Right. That's what I thought.
I mean, I wear. Yeah, I could do. Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Mm. I wear contacts, so that's like a kind of, I don't know, without water is, I think it's hard. And then.
Oh, but you can just use like bottle water.
Oh, sold on that. I guess I could handle it. What I cannot handle, I will say this, is mosquitoes. And I don't think this neck of the woods has it per se, but when we were in Atlanta, it doesn't matter, even in the, you know, in a house, there's mosquitoes everywhere and I can't handle it. Because they eat me alive.
So I hear you. Yeah. Because whenever I'm with my family too, I'm the one, get all the mosquito bites. So something about our blood types or whatever, right?
That
we draw.
Right.
Mosquitoes to us. But yeah, so Montana, I've only been there. How many times have I been there? But anyway, I know you have to time it right. And sometimes it could be really bad. Like the one time last time. Well, anyway, Mina had like, I don't even know. She counted all her mosquito bites and there were like 20, 30, however many. And I don't think it's worth it. For me, I can't do that either.
Right. So it's funny because my mother-in-law, we just went to Atlanta and she said firsthand that she wants to do the Grand Canyon. I have not been to at all as well. So talk about, you know, YOLO. We gotta make things happen. I think we just mentioned, I think like with those four, I think those are like the main ones. How do you pronounce it?
Yosemite.
Yeah, Yosemite. Yosemite. Not necessarily Montana, I guess, but Glacier National Park is super famous. Jackson Hole is famous. Grand Canyon is, but these are all on our side of the country. So anyway. That's kind of, and then we said to each other that we would see each other in Japan 2 years from now, right? 2025.
That would be incredible now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mina wants to go to celebrate. The timing would be when she graduates 8th grade. So.
Yes. Yeah. Saying that. And it would be your 20th. No, it's not our 20th. It is our, it would be our, oh my gosh. Let's see. A 30th. 30th reunion.
Mm.
High school reunion.
Oh, whoop, wow. Whoop.
So, yes, thank you for sharing. And going back to why death it has a lot to do with my summer is because my mom and I talked about how she wanted to just, you know, do her ending, like life ending plans. Because you can't do that. Like, you have to do that while you're still, like, your brain, like, is functioning, right? That she, cognitive, that she can make those decisions versus, you know, I mean, luckily on her side of the family, there isn't, like, Alzheimer's or what have you is not there. But I think if anything could happen, like, it could be an accident. Would be the higher probability, I think. So anyway, so that was a lot of planning and we talked about, and but honestly, Naoko, like, I think with my father passing away many, many decades ago so suddenly, that's always been like looming, like we don't take life for granted. And I think it's kind of like a blessing in disguise that he taught me how ephemeral life is. And to live life without regrets at such an early age. So anyway, like if it was up to my mom when she was grieving, she wanted to go with him. But, you know, that was in her saddest moments. But it's super impressive that she made a living, like she had a second life without my dad. And that's when she got into hiking and outdoors. And obviously, I SOS'd her. So she helped me. So anyway, life is frail.
Yeah, so I shared with you this TED Talk. I can't remember now how I stumbled upon it. It's either LinkedIn or IG. But I was trying to go through, like, how did I stumble upon it? And I can't figure it out. But I have a tendency to, because I'm, you know, I have myriad of ways that I come across content. And what I like to do is something that resonates or that I'm curious to, you know, whether it's watch or read, I bookmark it because I don't always have the bandwidth or capacity to explore it right then and there. And so this TED Talk by Alua Arthur, titled "Why Thinking About Death Helps You Live a Better Life," was something that I bookmarked and caught my attention and felt, okay, I had the time to like watch it, and then was so good that I tend to do this, right? Anything that I like am moved or resonates with me, I love to share. That's like my immediate inclination. And so I shared it with you, Naoko.
Yeah, it's so cool. I mean, it's kind of like a second career for her to be a death doula. But she's like she was an attorney, right? Not only was she an attorney, I checked how you mentioned she was a West Elm, so alumna, and we were at school at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's class of 2000. So it's so great how, anyway, that she... yeah, pursued this, because talking about death is taboo, right? In many cultures, I would say. So yeah, tell me, because I think you shared with me how it moved you and how...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because just a lot of things that I'm experiencing in my life just all felt very aligned, and, you know, hearing her talk was so meaningful in just myriad countless ways. But I mean, from the very beginning, she talks about like that taboo-ness, right? I marked this, it resonated with me when she talked about people censored their own discomfort with mortality rather than make space for her when she was sharing her experience meeting somebody when she traveled to, I think, Cuba, right? Mm-hmm. That was facing cancer and navigating that. And so that, you know, this whole idea of our cultural leanings and avoidance to talk about death really, I think, resonated with me. And just her whole experience as being a death doula from her perspective, you know, witnessing people's death and their journey and how they, I think one question she asks her clients, right? What must I do to be at peace with myself so that I may live presently and die gracefully, holding both at the same time? Like, that's a question I need to, like, sit with and unpack for myself as I think about the next step. Yeah. And I've, you know, I think when we experience something like that, in moments like somebody's death, it becomes more real, right? Like when you're going through day to day, it's not something that you think about or hold close to. And so this idea of, if you envision a graceful life ending and then kind of backtrack how you want to get there, like, I mean, she talks about it in her talk about that gives you clarity in how to be in this present moment. So I'm trying to unpack that for myself. I'm curious to hear what resonated for you.
No, it's very short and sweet. I think it's not a new concept for me. It's like more of a, as a matter of fact. I think about it every day. I think about death every day. In a good sense, in the sense, again, if today was the only day, what am I going to be doing today? You know, am I a procrastinator at things that I don't want to do? Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. But I think you notice it in me too, right? I have a bias for action. And I think that is because I really do know. And I really do know. I have seen death. And as she mentions as well, like, we all are going to die. It's the inevitable.
Right.
And I don't think we actually even have a choice of how, per se, because, right, we're not immune from diseases or, you know, accidents, what have you. And then, like, I mean, you know, we're in, like, kind of like midlife, and my husband and I talk about, I mean, I think he's much more, I guess if you've been athletic and physical all your life, and then your body isn't as, you know, flexible or don't have enough stamina as much as the younger, I think he feels, you know, getting older because the body isn't moving as it, you know, as it was. So, you know, it's just like, we feel like, yeah, we're getting older. But then we remind ourselves, well, when we're 60 and we're looking at our 40-year-old selves, we're going to reflect upon, oh my gosh, can you believe that we were saying that we were old in our 40s when we weren't?
Yeah.
Because, right, 60, I hope to live until, like, I'm in my 90s. I think that's one kind of, you know, what is it called? Not, what is it? I don't know. Affirmations, but like a vision board. I always knew or know that. I don't know. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm just like bluffing. But I would like to live until my 90s. Because there's so much to see, especially as we have kids. I want to see their grandkids. And what have you. And then, and again, because I guess I'm recovering from third time COVID, it's just like, you never know. Like, I didn't expect that I was going to get COVID on the plane or airport or whatever over. And I'm generally blessed to be, you know, active and physical. And I actually have a half marathon race is coming Sunday. And I'm like, you know what? I'll be blessed to just, the really beauty of it is all downhill. So it's going to be like a nice workout. It's like a very nice morning workout versus, you know, worrying about, you know, what time am I going to finish? Whatever. That's like moot point now. So yeah, it's like, you just never know. You just never know what's going to happen. So I think you've taught me too through nowness, because now it's about being present now, is that I'm definitely more cognizant to be present. Especially like with my daughter, my littlest one, because you know how little ones, like, life revolves around them. I gotta nip it in the butt, but to enjoy the moment, because again, as you said, you know, even for your daughter, you're like, oh my gosh, where's the time going? So it's to be present. And I know when your parents were visiting too, you were texting me, and she's like, you're like, you know, man, like, my dad could be a pain in the butt, but I am being present. You know, things like that. So I was you know, digesting how you were experiencing your parents too. And, you know, as much as I love my mom, it's not like I've been like mean to her in the past many a times, because I don't know, we just sometimes are places that we haven't connected. So I was just like, okay, this time around, I'm gonna be present and just suck it up, bite my tongue, don't say mean things. I wasn't perfect, but I think I was better than before. Anyway, yeah.
When you were sharing about, you know, the age stuff and your conversations with your partner, a quote I came across, I don't know where, somewhere along the line, stuck with me, that we're our youngest self. Like, you know, especially growing up in such an age-conscious culture in Japan, you know, like, I thought that's still, I think, a profound thing to tell myself. Like, I am my youngest self, and not stop comparing myself to my younger self. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you're, like, robbing yourself of your youngest self right now.
Well, you know what I love? One of the things I love about Zumba classes, because I'm, you know, in between like kind of like formal jobs and stuff, is like, it's a morning class. So obviously most of the students or people who are taking the class are retirees. But they're so full of life, you know, they're in their like 70s, and some are like more fit than I am. They look more fit than I am. I think I could probably beat them in like endurance and stuff. But they're just like, both men and women, average age is probably 75 or something. They're enjoying. So it's so amazing, like with like current music. So it's just been good to see them enjoying life and moving to the beat. And again, a lot of these people actually have rhythm. So anyway, that just means I'm like kind of like completely digressing from Alua Arthur, but yes, I gotta hold you accountable for dancing, and it's end of August now, Ko.
Yeah, I know. I was listening to that and I was like, oh, yeah, but I was giving myself grace and compassion because I did not do Questlove's masterclass, and it expired. But it's okay. You know, life happens, and I'm present, and I do dance, though. I mean, I like especially when I'm driving, because we do so much driving in California. I feel alive when I'm listening to music I like, and yeah, I dance while I drive. Upper body, you know, like shoulder, like, you know, feeling it in my body.
Well, I have to say, and I probably mentioned this in the birthday episode, which was the episode prior to this one that we're recording today, but like, you were the influence. You were so uninhibited. So I know you went through, you know, loving acting, and I know you still do, but as I've known you since age 12, like, that was the moment. Like, you took the platform, you taught me subconsciously or indirectly just to be uninhibited, and you could care, you know, care less about what people thought about, you know, what you would, because you just loved music. So I just want to just call it out that I was blessed to witness you in those moments. Mm. And you've always been that. So to me, yeah, I'm like, I love, yeah, I too, in my adult years, and it's like one of the things that my husband and I bonded on is we love dancing.
Mm.
And I still like, I don't need a drink to be uninhibited. And I will go, I will be the first to be on the dance floor to dance because I love dancing.
Right, right, right.
So you are my inspiration, dear.
I thought of you because I heard, I think it was yesterday, that Lauryn Hill announced 25th anniversary of her Miss Education album, and that she is going on tour with the Fugees for the U.S. location. So like, oh my gosh, that would be so fun to go to.
You like her music more than I do. I'm actually more, believe it or not, I think I'm more poppy. Because awesome. Right now I'm really in the Taylor Swift kick, and I don't think you, like it really, all three of us, my daughters and I, we're Swifties big time.
Mm.
She's just super talented. The lyrics would resonate. I mean, as a writer, you probably appreciate, oh my gosh, like the lyrics and anyway. It's poetic. Anyway.
Yeah, I only know the songs that get played on the radio. So of course the big hits. So I don't know her, like complete albums and stuff. But Mina, I think, is warming up to becoming a Swiftie. I think she likes Billie Eilish, which is style more, but beginning to appreciate Taylor Swift's music more recently now.
I see. Is Ready or Not, Here I Come, is that Lauryn Hill? No,
that's so Fugees.
It is Fugees. Okay,
yeah.
And talk about
I don't know if it's Miss Education. I can't, like, all right. Their music to me is like all one in my mind. Like, I don't know which one is her solo and which one's the group, but yeah, that's her and them.
I think I recently, well, what I thought recently, because I'm only been more advocating my, you know, birth mother's refugee story, but the Fugees, they're all refugees. And that was like, oh man, okay, that's cool. It seems tangential, but I love watching baking competitions on Netflix. And one of the amateur bakers claimed that he's the brother, and he is actually, because I Googled it and all that, is the brother of Lauryn Hill.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was just like, wow, like, wow. Like, just an interesting connection there. But, oh, man. Okay. So that just brings me, do you remember, like, okay. So, like, at this age, okay, one of my pet peeves. I don't know if it's a pet peeve, but I get annoyed because I don't know. Okay, all the songs that I listened to in junior high and high school, they're being remade, remixed by other artists today.
Mm.
So that's like, I'm like, really? Like, you can't come up with your own stuff? That's one of the reasons why I do like Taylor Swift, because all of her stuff is original. She doesn't like take stuff from... And if you take stuff, fine, okay, let it be. But like one of the songs that's on the pop list right now is Lauryn Hill じゃなくて, Tracy Chapman. Remember Tracy Chapman? Same era.
Fast Car, right?
Fast Car is being recorded by this artist, country artist. Have you? Exactly. I'm like, what the heck? No. These lyrics.
You don't get to sing that song.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm like, how did Tracy Chapman even allow that to happen? And I know I'm like supposed to be in non-judgment zone, but like, no, like you, I mean, come on, listen to the lyrics. You're not, I don't know, maybe you didn't grow up with privilege, but I'm sorry, but no, Exactly. But it's on the top 10 or something, top 20 or something. And I'm like,
oh. Yeah, it's being played on the radio. And I'm like, okay, as soon as I hear it, Mina too, we're like, we can't listen to this.
So that is happening more than once. It's happening too many times. Too many times. Too many artists are just like, mm-mm. So I'm glad I got to share that with you. And I'm glad you actually agree. Oh my gosh.
And it's such an iconic song and I love it. And it's like, no, you don't get to just like redo and do your own spinoff. No, like, don't. This is a sacred song.
So. Exactly. Anyway, okay.
Speaking of dancing, to put it on our list to do's, when I think about you and I dancing, I can only think of our high school graduation. それ以来踊ってないよね? That's too long ago. We should go dancing.
Oh my gosh.
I would love that. Maybe when I come visit.
I don't know any place to go dance. That's like 29 years ago. I just did the math. That's funny. I don't know where to go dancing here, honey.
Well, we're resourceful. We can get something out.
Anyway, okay. We are now pivoting into food. Because one of my favorite things is kimbap. So I get kimbap. Like, I can only imagine if it was like homemade. I'm sure your mother's made it over and over again. And that's like a different caliber. So let's put that on the side. My local Japanese supermarket actually makes yummy kimbap. So love it. Love that. But recently, Trader Joe's has it in the freezer aisle of all places. Like, you know, that's like freshly made rice, you don't put it in the refrigerator because what happens? Yes, it becomes hard and it doesn't last. But so it's in the freezer aisle, and then you microwave it for 2 minutes and you let it stand and it's soft. I'm like blown away. I'm like, I had no idea. I guess frozen rice does that. Anyway, so Trader Joe's came up with kimbap, and so I had that yumminess.
And it was good?
It's decent. I mean, it's great. It's fine, because I'm not going to make it at home. So that's good. And then, yappari otsukemono da ne. I brought cucumbers back from my mother-in-law's garden. And I fermented that.
Nice.
So, and then yesterday I bought white kimchi. Oh, so here's a question that I have. This company, right? Okay, they make both the spicy kimchi and then the white kimchi, right? Spicy kimchi, it's all cut. The napa cabbage is cut. So you just take out pieces. But the white kimchi, the whole haksai, the whole napa cabbage is in the jar. Is that normal?
Well, when my mom makes it, it's always whole.
I see.
Well, when my grandma toka would do it for like the restaurant, it would be whole. And then you just chop it up before eating it, you know? So I don't know what's normal, not normal. And why the white kimchi is not chopped up. This is your question, right? Why
is this inconvenient for me as a consumer? It's inconvenient because I have to take the whole thing out.
Yeah.
And then cut it. But yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Why for the spicy one they would do that and not for the non-spicy one. I wouldn't.
The show? It's like either or. Just do, I mean. That was like a hatena for me. And then we're going to have hamachi kama for dinner today.
Nice.
So what you been up to?
We don't know. I haven't decided on dinner tonight, so don't know. We have leftovers, so one of the dishes that I learned from my mom, we call it chicken adobo, but it's really not, because adobo is Philippine from the Philippines, and there's like sweetness to it. I mean, I don't know why. I guess it's the closest thing. It's just simmered in water or sake, soy sauce, and grated garlic. And so there's that nokorimono left over. We could eat with rice. And then we also have leftover yakisoba. So most likely will be what we call a musko. So it's just a day of hodgepodge leftovers to make it into a meal. Yeah.
So interesting fact, Rue is on his Japan trip right now because he's on summer vacation. So kind of like going, actually Tohoku region of Japan. And he's been like tentento going to Aomori, Morioka, Sendai and all that.
Wow.
He's been eating, guess what? Ramen. Korean style ramen. So I guess northern regions have more Korean influences, maybe? Which I had no idea. So he's been sending me pictures of ramen, which looks so lovely. But I know I remember I'm not really a cold noodle kind of person unless it's like soba or somen. But I know you eat, you make it too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom, when they were here, brought me some from Japan. The noodles, it's different. The ones that you can buy in Japan and the ones you can buy in the Korean market store. And so, bimyo ni ne, chigau kara. I prefer the Japanese one. And yeah, it's so good. Oh. Either as a ramen or bibimbap, you know. So good. Especially on a hot day. So I didn't know you're not into your nani, cold noodles are only what, soba and somen? You're not big on cold noodles.
I mean, you know, like the Singaporean style noodle sauce. I guess I'll eat it. No, I don't know.
You're not big on it.
I'm not big on it. I could be though. I could be. If I were with you, I could be.
Yeah, damn it. Certainly.
Hit. All right.
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten anything.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, yeah, what should I have for lunch? I don't know. Yeah. What are you making? I'm hungry too. I'm thinking about what I have. Oh, nakasuita. otsukemono I have otsukemono, but I'll figure it out, I guess. I don't know, makes me
I have arugula and some. Mina these days prefers sandwiches, so it's easier to eat than like rice or onigiri for whatever reason. I'm sure it's a phase.
Do you make her do you make her lunch?
Wow. I make it in the morning.
Every day?
Demo, it's easy because she wants sandwich. So I just do either. And she loves turkey sandwich. I'm like, okay. Turkey, and I put mashed avocado with mayo.
Yum. Mashed avocado, okay, with mayo. Is it American mayo or is it Kewpie mayo?
Kewpie, that's your
I know. All I use is Kewpie mayo right now. Mashed avocado, and then the cold cut turkey. Turkey.
That's her go-to bread. Lunch.
What kind of bread?
I like to do Anderson Bakery when I can, but she doesn't seem to care between the Japanese style soft hua hua bread versus like katai sourdough. U.S. My total bias shining through.
Sourdough is so much healthier.
But I love fua fua
bread has no nutrition. It's so good, but it is like literally processed white flour. And it's so good, but like, yeah, anyway. Okay.
So I'll probably have we have arugula and so the turkey slices. So I'll have that for lunch, kind of.
Okay, I'm gonna have a hard boiled egg. but my technique is boiling it for 7 minutes and putting it in ice. And so the inside yolk is still drizzle, drizzle. And then I have leftover Caesar salad from last night. And then I will cut into an avocado. And toast, probably. Yum. Okay.
Nice. I was going to ask something. Nandakke. What were you just saying?
Avocado toast.
Oh, shoot.
Leftover Caesar salad.
忘れた. Sorry.
Hard-boiled egg.
Oh, yeah. You said 7 minutes. Do you put it from water or once it boils, you put it in?
Once it boils, you put it in.
Oh, I see.
So it's exactly 7 minutes of boiling time.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing your technique.
Alrighty. Bye-bye, King.
Love you.
Love you.